have the ground game. We've actually built the practices that people aspire to create.
History will prove one of us correct.
Wait. You're not letting me finish, bro.
This is how you become bulletproof.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Bulletproof Dental Practice Podcast. And we are very excited because we have the four of us reunited. You guys have been doing so well without me that I don't even know what I'm doing here right now. So this is my test run.
Not true.
This is a test run. If I add value, if I add value today, please drop a like in the comments. If I don't, then, you know, I'll politely just disengage and go to maybe like the All In or something like that.
You know what was cool, Craig? We were able to go technical and we did acknowledge that you would not like some of the things we were talking about. So it was actually perfect. So today we're going to get back into visionary. I'm kidding. Today we're actually going to go over data, Craig.
Great.
Would you like to? Yes. I know you like just want to consume data, digest the data, interpret the data, and move forward. Well, in all seriousness, we're going to talk about the state of dentistry in 2024. And there's a report that comes out from Dental Intel every year, and they talk about kind of the state of dentistry, and they use all the collective data that they have, right? So it's about 10,000 data points. I think they have about 10,000 practices. And it's pretty cool. They produce this, right, obviously as a lead gen for their business so that people will get in tune to looking at this data. But I think it's really good to share because, Craig, and we just had kind of experience of this recently. Everyone always thinks it should be up and to the right, and maybe your practice should be always up and to the right, like always growing, never contracting. But in full reality, like that's not possible, right? You can't just always be growing. Sometimes there's periods of a downtrend, and sometimes you got to correct that. Sometimes there's a period of you plateauing. But without having the data in front of you, don't know. But I mean, who here has had a down year ever?
Ever, of course.
Year over year, meaning the year before was better than the year that we're talking about. All of you,
COVID,
right?
COVID year.
COVID year, right?
Trade down means where you didn't acquire five or seven practices.
I've never had a down year.
I'm trying to.
Ever?
From organic. Are you talking organic growth or are you talking acquisition growth? Because acquisition growth,
organic.
I've never
organic
had
growth,
it.
Of course, Dwight. Yeah. You can't bolt on revenue.
So Trey, what
revenue.
Are you saying? Have you ever had a practice where one of the practices did little less than it did the previous year? That kind of
you're
going to
go just organic growth?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure we've had a down year.
Yeah, it's somewhere in there.
Well, we're going just organic because I think that's most applicable to the people, right? You are the outlier right now, Trey, in the acquisition. I think most people want to say like, hey, you know, you have a tendency, dentistry, we've always said, you operate in a little bit in a silo, right? You're by yourself, potentially. You don't know how well if you have a down year, you're thinking, man, I bet my competition didn't have a down year. And you start feeling bad about your situation, potentially. So I think this is where data is good to say, like, you know, am I doing bad? Or is this more of a macro X situation, meaning a macroeconomic situation or a regional situation or something like that. And not to give excuses. It's just sometimes it's good to know collectively what the industry is doing. Agreed?
Sure.
Yeah.
Great. Let's do it.
Okay. So let me share. So this actually won't be a long pod, but I think it's nice, you know, and I'm not sure everyone even knows who's listening that Dental Intel pushes this out, and they've been a great sponsor of Bulletproof throughout the years. I think they're one of the best BI platforms out there. And let's jump into it, guys. So I love how they kind of say is the sky of dentistry, is the sky falling, right?
Because that's what most people are saying right now.
You know,
that's
in 2024. Is the sky falling in 2024? So what's the state of dentistry 2024?
Right.
And Dwight, sorry, I interrupted you. You were saying what?
Yeah, no, I just think that it's so common. I love that they titled it that because every year they got their kind of basic whatever. But that's the general sentiment as far as the emotional sentiment in the industry. That is also because of the fact that I believe that the vast majority of doctors do not track their numbers. They have this feeling, this sense, right? So they're not necessarily looking at this stuff, but you go to conferences and things like that, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, and most of it's been related to like not being able to bring on people or hygiene drama or costs of of payroll or things like that, but is it really the dentistry? Is it really the industry? So I like how they titled that. Is it falling?
I'd like to read a couple lines here. So I think it's good. And essentially one I've highlighted here says, you've probably picked up on a little bit of a negative rippling going through dentistry right now. Point, kind of point to my like open. And then patients seem to be rescheduling more than ever, finding loyal team members feels akin to the search for a hidden treasure. We've all kind of seen that as we've been in Mastermind and Bulletproof and hearing kind of some of the struggles across the nation. And then the age old dance with insurance reimbursements has not seemed to getting easier. So again, they took 10,000 practices and they put the data behind it to really dissect what's going on. Did you guys, I know you all prepped for this and right. And so a lot of these are some of the KPIs that we really preach upon in Bulletproof. Some are different. There's about 10 KPIs on the screen right here, going through the data of 21, 22 and 23 for full calendar years. Was there any takeaways that from you guys as you kind of looked at those?
First and foremost, I want to establish like this is overseeing like 10,000 practices that they see. So it's not just, I think it's worth noting that Dental Intel has enough of a book of business and access mm-hmm. to this data that this isn't just like looking at those who track and those who don't. Like, this is all those practices, and they do interact with DSOs and, non-DSO type styles and single locations, multi-locations, group practices. So I think it's correct. A good analysis of the data in my personal opinion.
It's a good swath across the industry is what you're saying, right?
Exactly.
Right? Okay. Yeah. 10,000 is not a small, if we were evaluating 100 practices or 50 practices, I don't think it'd be enough of a cohort to say, but I agree with you, Dwight. I think it's all across the nation. I think it's independent. I think there's DSOs. I think there's, probably even some Medicaid practices. Who knows?
Well, before you advance.
I think it's worth saying too of this one is this is also shifted towards the upper bracket of everything because practices that are using data analytics.
Correct. I was going to say that. Yeah.
Are always going to be leg up on those that aren't. So these comparisons are really good benchmarks for everybody because you want to be in this group.
So Trey, what you're saying is in this instance, in this chart, there's a bottom 10, a top 10, and there's average, but like that's still the bottom 10 is probably still better than 50% of the remainder of the nation. Right.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Craig, what were you going to say about it? You said before advancing this?
Yeah. There's also, the bottom in many ways is getting worse. So if you look at patient growth percentage, in 2021, the bottom 10% was losing 6%, mm-hmm. and it's accelerated to losing 11%. So there's a shift from poor performing practices to better performing practices.
Well, what it did say is that the worst, I think one of the takeaways was the bottom 10 are getting worse and the top 10 are getting better, right? There's an intense stratification going on in dentistry, right? Like the seas are parting and like, the cream is rising to the top. I think it's what it's saying, especially in the era of consolidation. Is that so? Yeah. Here's him looking for the line. Yeah.
And it also says top performers are doing better than ever and bottom performers are nosediving. Unfortunately, and this is the other piece, there also seems to be a marginal dip for the average practice. So I think that's an interesting caveat there.
I think important piece of this because the top always gets better and the bottom always gets worse. So where's the middle go?
Yeah.
Middle's dropped.
They probably split both ways to better and worse, but Dental Intel's been saying this, we've been doing these things since reading these things since the late teens, 18, 19, 20, and it's always the bottom's always getting worse. So the bottom's just going to go away is what's really going to happen.
Yeah, or get consolidated, correct. Right. They'll be gobbled up. Right. Yeah.
Absorbed up.
Hey, docs, how many times have you gone to a meeting only to come home to be served with a bunch of friction on all the things that you learned, right? The team didn't participate in the education that you got, therefore now you're coming home and the team is saying, hey, just give them till Thursday, it'll go away. So why not flip that on its head, right? Why don't you bring your team to the Bulletproof Summit? It's going to be in June 14th and 15th, where you're going to learn and innovate with your team. You're going to create massive alignment, and I promise you it's where the rubber is going to meet the road. So join us again, bulletproofsummit.com, and we'll see you this summer. One of the most important metrics that we're kind of learning about from a sales side perspective, or I guess I should say from a buyer side consolidation, something that private equity looks at, something that big DSOs look at, is the patient growth percentage. And so they have tracked this here, and it basically says, how much did your patient base grow or shrink in 2023? And so they're saying the good news is the average practice still growing, right? The bad news is the rate of growth appears to be slowing across the board in 2023.
Yep.
And that was kind of what you were just saying there, Craig.
If we look at it, we take in 2021, go back to that slide for a second. In 2021, we had 41% growth, patient base growing in 2021. I wonder if a little bit of this is like COVID adjusted. COVID.
Yeah, they acknowledge that. Here it is right here, right? The pent up demand, COVID. Yeah.
So I think it's not that. I think it's 21, 22 were boosted, and 23 is more reality, I guess. You know, when you have pent up demand and all that, and a lot of states saw transient patient, like massive growth. You know, I know in Texas and Florida, we had massive levels of new patient growth, just new people moving into the area. So I think when you have that, you can just kind of feel, you know, can kind of get drunk, you know, high in your own supply.
Well, 2023 may be, like you're saying, Craig, may be the normalization.
It is. Because 23 is a normalization.
Normalization year. The data from COVID, the pent-up demand being shut down, then up, people not becoming inactive yet. Now 2023 is normalized. So it's probably more accurate data.
But it is sobering to know that it wasn't your dental entrepreneurial skills, but global factors that made you look like you were better than you are for many of us. And I can just say.
You mean when people were kind of thriving in the post-COVID era, you're saying?
I just think that when you have a global cause for growth, you take it as you're an amazing entrepreneur. You know, so when the financial markets and the tides of patients are moving in your favor, you tend to think it's because of you. And then when the tide runs out, you blame the economy. So it's like 2021, 22, we're like, oh, we're amazing. We're so good at this. And 2023, it's like, well, you know, consumer confidence is down. I just think we tend to be biased on this information and take credit where it's not due. That's my take on that so far.
One thing I thought was pretty fascinating was this data right here. I don't know if you guys can see me highlighting. It's the average restorative presented per exam.
Too. Yeah.
Look at the difference between
massive.
Yeah, and every year it's quite different, right? It's almost in 2022 it's almost by a factor of 10.
Well,
right?
It widened. So in 2021 the low was 800 and the high was 3300 basically. I'm rounding it up. In 2023 the low's 400, lost basically half. So the bottom 10 is recommending half
and
the treatment
stayed the same.
And the top level stayed the same. So it points to the bottom getting really bad. Their nose.
So what would you guys think would be the reason for that? Because it's not accepted treatment. It's presented treatment. What would be the causative reason you think? Poor education, not accountability, apathy.
I think it is a little bit of all of those things.
Okay.
I think it
plus
tends
when
to
you
be...
get guys at the end of their career, they stop diagnosing. Pretty routinely.
Yes. Yes.
So it's a combination of.
But Trey, why would that be the end of the career? Meaning 2021 versus 2023 is what Craig is saying. It was cut in half. The average restorative plan was cut in half on average to the bottom 10.
So 2021 though also has pent up demand involved from COVID as well as a need to diagnose.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
I think honestly too, there's something to be said for how emotional our industry is with regards to this. When the pressure of the business is on your shoulders and you're feeling pressure such as recruitment issues and team and payroll costs and inflationary factors, you know, we tend to be pandemic proof. We tend to be proof for a lot of things in the economy, but we don't tend to be inflationary proof as an industry. And when you start feeling those pressures, I think doctors and we see this notoriously in our mastermind calls. Like they get on and like they just struggle to get out of their desk chair to go check hygiene.
Wait, Dwight, say more on that. Say more about the inflation part of it.
So I think the natural tendency is that, first of all, we a lot of businesses can say, oh, well, the cost of groceries has gone up, the cost of this, cost of that has gone up. But we as an industry, in general, most of the practices represented here in these numbers are stuck to a fee schedule that's paid by insurance. And insurance is not calling you and saying, hey, cost of living has gone up and inflationary effect, and so we're going to scale up what we pay you. So in general, we are not, we have other methods in which we can avoid inflation, like kicking out certain insurance companies, going fee for service. We have those benefits that a lot of MDs don't, that are tethered to that and can't get out of them. But there is something to be said for the fact that as an industry, we are not as inflationary resistant in our business model as many other industries can be, where they can change their fees.
Your price elasticity to compensate is what you're saying. We have a, most of us have a fixed reimbursement rate is what you're saying.
The majority of the industry
An interesting thing. If you go back a slide, because we're still on the prior slide, I think this is not related to pay. This is related to the average treatment presented, the one we were just talking about.
Yeah.
The psychology of the dentist saying, well, correct, you know, times are tough. Eggs are now $3. I better not recommend Mrs. Jones gets a deep cleaning, even though she needs it. I actually see that. So when consumer confidence goes down, doctor confidence goes down.
I agree. And doctor confidence goes down because they're saying, well, doc, you know, everything's more expensive now. And, you know, it's hard for me to consider dentistry. To most people, dentistry still is considered something like it's an added luxury. You know, it's something more can have. And so they can bypass it unless if it's painful. Like, you know, my endodontist is like nonstop, stacked at all times, right? But the rest of it, you know, the aesthetic guys and the other guys, you know, over time, it's like they've got these bumps and bruises. But I do think that we've talked to docs, even in the mastermind, and constantly docs within my own. It's like when they have a bad month, they spiral on themselves, right? Yeah. And it's, you know, and they're like, I don't even want to get up to check. Like if you've had a slow day and you've got openings in your schedule, you don't even want to check hygiene as much. It's almost like it spirals into itself, right? So a lot of doctors will do that. They'll feel like the pressure of all the things. And then all of a sudden they realize, well, you know, it's a little harder for me to want to get up. And when they get there, they don't diagnose as much. They don't take their time. They don't focus on doubling down on that. It's an emotional state.
One other thing too is you know, I see the articles and I read, you know, the files on Twitter that consumer confidence and average Americans are having a lot of trouble just making ends meet. So, you know, you recommend what a patient needs once or twice, and someone that you care about, a patient that you seek their approval and care about, says to you, hey doc, you know, I'm barely getting by. You know how things are right now. That kind of tucks your tail between your legs, and you're a little bit psychologically. So this statistic that we're looking at, and those are not watching, 2021 to 2023, the top level people are always presenting $3,200 per exam.
Yeah, that didn't change.
That doesn't change
year over year over year.
And the midpoint doesn't really change too. It's right about 1,500. The bottom is moving all over the place. So it points, I mean, I'm taking a big leap here, but it points to the bottom performers being probably more psychologically less resilient or more emotional around things. You know, why would they change so much? You know, so I think it's the psychology, but then again, I think everything's psychology. So I'll let you guys poke holes in that.
I think it is. It's also the fact that they tend to be the kind of doctors that are more isolated and alone. How many times are we in the mastermind and someone says 3 months into the mastermind, they're like, oh my God, like, so many, just talking about it makes me want to work on my business. Just realizing that other people are struggling with the same issues.
That's the most helpful part of the mastermind, by the way.
Just the awareness.
To say, oh, wow, you guys struggle too. You ladies have those problems. This is how I dealt with it. It's great.
The next thing I want to talk about is something we've always, you know, we've always kind of clarified as the hygiene reappoint is probably the most percentage. The hygiene reappoint percentage is probably the most important metric, the most important prognostication metric for how your next months will be. And this is something we've always said, I think, Craig, when we even had, what was his name?
Weston Lunsford.
5 years ago. Yeah. Weston on. He said, look, okay, break it down. If you could only track one thing, we pinned him down to like, if you could only look at one thing, what would it be? And he's like this. And so what this is tracking is how many of your patients, hygiene reappointment percentage means how many of your patients are scheduled for their next hygiene appointment before leaving the office that day. And says the good news, on average, this metric points to stabilization. Yeah. The bad news is the bottom 10% is floundering. Sorry, guys. So they're saying, look, this metric is crucial. And so it's saying, why is the bottom 10% struggling? And they're saying it's likely a combination of factors, lack of patient engagement strategies, insufficient training, or a deprioritized hygiene program. And the last one kind of resonated with me a little bit. I think that, and we saw that a lot with COVID. Craig, remember when you were kind of getting in these Facebook battles about hygiene, and it was like this war of like, you know, doctors versus hygienists, and I can't believe what
still
they're asking.
Still goes on, unfortunately, Pete.
Uh-oh. Well, you know, so deprioritizing hygiene, right? We forget that is the fertile ground in which restorative grows. Mm-hmm. Restorative enrollment grows. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, any takeaways here, guys, on this?
Let me just jump into that one.
Please.
Again,
please.
2021, 2022, 2023, the top 10 stay consistent. 91 and 93% reappointment percentage. The average one stay consistent right around 79 to 84.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom is the one that falls off of the cliff.
Yeah.
You know, down from 47.
I would argue that's not consistent. That's a big increase. They're all going higher. 91 to 93 is a pretty substantial increase because there's diminishing returns at the top. It's harder to get those last few points. And 79 to 84, solid, solid increase. You're just
and
you're
47 to 39
at this level, very much so.
So, but the bottom is exaggerated.
Bottom's the problem.
Down, yeah. 47 to 39.
Very much a problem.
We need to focus on the main concept that this is not just the main KPI everybody should track, but this is this is the stabilizer one, meaning the one, how stable is your systems and processes and how stable is the future of your business? And I love paying attention to this one in particular, because what is showing to us here is like, this is why consolidation is happening in our industry. Mm-hmm. When practices go up and down or are unstable, that's when doctors give up. That's when they throw the white flag and say, I can't deal with this anymore. I don't want to have to manage these things. And that's why it's such a critical percentage. And if you're shedding 10% a year, if not more, there's no doubt that you can expect that. But this is showing a lot of stability in 2022 and 23 amongst even the average practices. So this is why I would say the sky's not falling in that sense.
I would agree. You are seeing stability in the top 10 for sure. And this one thing I think was interesting as we kind of wrap this, you know, I don't want to sit here and just read a PDF the whole pod, but the bonus data was interesting, right? Cancellations and no shows. And it says it's really true. The average practice is experiencing more cancellations and no shows than ever before. Or is it a product of the dental rumor mill? And so they say, basically, we dove in and had a different story to tell. So the takeaway is cancellations and no-shows have more or less doubled over the last few years from their data, regardless of where you sit in that stratification of top 10, average, or bottom 10. So how does that land on y'all? That cancellations across the industry, cancellations and no-shows have doubled.
I will jump in
and tell you that there is a lot of low-hanging fruit when you start looking at metrics and what levers to pull to increase your operational efficiency of your practice. Lowering your cancellation and no-show rate is not one of those things. It is a very hard thing to do. And it is better. What I have found is it is better to build phenomenal systems around it that can absorb an increase in this. So you can handle it and not worry about it.
For example,
build enough patient flow by sealing the back door, reappointment, that you don't lose practices out the back or patients out of the back end while you're worried about front end new patient flow. Growth
but Trey, it's still occupying bandwidth of your provider, right? Meaning if someone no-shows, it's still damaging beyond the net patient growth.
So here's so by that thought process, then look at scheduling. So if you schedule to a number and you're very number specific, let's say you have a 10% no-show cancellation rate. And
a
your
10%?
Providers all goal, the goal okay. adds up to 10,000 a day. So if that's your average, and we're talking about data trends here, then instead of trying to fix your no-show rate, schedule your day to 11,000 and assume that 1,000 will fall off, problem solved. That's a hell of a lot easier than trying to fix your no-show rate.
Is it?
Oh, for sure.
Dwight,
for
is sure. it?
So my perspective on this is we hound this like crazy. I'm not going to lie. Our whole team focuses on this, and we know it's gotten a little harder. I think the
focus
answer,
is what?
I think
on no-shows?
On no-shows, yeah.
Okay.
We make sure to try and combat it by not only you do one of two things, right? You hyper-focus on same-day dentistry and where you can reapply things at Morning Huddle, but you also push it to say, we charge this much more for a no-show. Patients are aware. It's part of the culture and the patients you bring in, and you train them to realize, like, this is a big deal. Calling patients ahead and saying, by the way, Dr. Pecora has set aside a time to be with you. Please make sure that you can be here 10 minutes, you know, this whole process. But as far as this is saying, in my opinion, I think there's a societal change that happened after COVID where people are less likely to hold to calendars and scheduling. I mean, school is questionable after so much COVID stuff. I mean, people take their kids out of school.
Everything's optional now.
A lot more optionality, which is why you need to be more hardened about saying there's a fee. There's a $75 fee to miss your appointment. Like, let's.
So you charge that. You charge a miss can't.
Absolutely.
Craig, do you charge that?
Of course. Yeah. Of course we do.
Trey?
We do, but we don't always collect it.
Same.
So to your point of, is it what Dwight just said, you're talking about a very sophisticated operator with very efficient systems, focusing on it and still seeing it rise.
But I'm surprised that you're okay with that slippage though, bud, is where I'm going with it. I'm surprised that you're like, look, my solution is don't worry about the slippage of no-shows. It just raised the production goals. And like, I feel like they're dislocated.
Not raise the production goals, raise the scheduling goals. It's a hack. It's a workaround.
Oh, okay. I mean,
because the time that I can spend on scheduling to address it is way more efficient than the time you're going to spend on trying to lower the no-show.
Well, okay. So what would be, let's
if you're looking at if a lagging indicator of say production.
Let's mastermind this for a second, let's just mind it for a second. What would be some ways to mitigate no-shows? Are you relying heavily on your technology, right?
So
I think we,
if
go
you're
ahead,
not
Joel.
Already in it, if you're not doing it, then you have things like confirmations. You have the sequence of your confirmation, the way you're confirming. A phone call is many times better than a text in certain situations, or if a text isn't working, switch the method of contact. Your timing of contact.
Can I say something?
Yes,
Trey,
you may.
About this? I just because this is something that's hitting near and dear. Okay, so we rely on technology to confirm, right? We have emails, we have texts. There's multiple opportunities for people to say, yes, I'm coming, or no, I'm not, right? 48 hours before the appointment, if that patient is not confirmed on your end, have your team, or haven't filled out their new patient work, has your team gone in and said, hey, we're going to take you off because we haven't heard? Or did you just let it roll and cross your fingers that they're going to show up? What say you, Trey, on that? Do you have someone that is the schedule dictator, if you will?
Yeah, we do. Right. So that is the system in place.
Okay. So that is exactly what you do. You rely on technology up to the point of 48
correct.
Hours, correct? And then a
correct.
Human jumps in and says, you're either confirming or you're coming off, essentially.
Essentially, right? that is the system.
Craig, you shook your head.
Yeah, exactly the same. Confirming or coming off.
Yep. Dwight, tell me.
1,000% confirming or coming off.
Is that actually, but is that happening? And so two questions, again, the near and dear part. Is that actually, that is your system, that is your protocol. Is it actually happening? And two, is someone dedicated to that at scale in your practices? Or is it
in each location?
Is it provider related? Who's That's doing it?
A very fair question. And I would say that, is it actually happening? Not nearly as much as it should be.
Yes, that is my point. And I am getting hit with that shit right now. Right. And identifying that that's a problem that needs to be fixed. A spinning plate that has come off of my spinny thing.
Sure. of your thingy.
What find out what those things are called that spin a plate. What is the post that spins it?
Let's just
that
say,
would have been appropriate for now. Damn it. Should have prepared better. Okay. So Trey, you're saying, look, that's the protocol. I'd like to sit here and say it happens 100% without fail, but it does not.
No.
So you potentially could tighten up that.
You could tighten that up for sure.
Yeah. Dwight, have you nailed it? Like, is that something that you could give us some feedback on?
I think my biggest proponent on that is that I always talk to our providers and I talk to our hygiene, and if they're commission-based structured hygiene, and if they're also in particular, you know, all the doctors, right? And they're so worried about a cancellation or things like that, which has been a constant conversation, say, go to the front desk. Have you called? Have your team, have your assistant call. You, a hygienist, call yourself, because there is no better accountability.
Yeah.
Than the provider.
But as we just learned in the mastermind call, Dwight,
yes,
there is a hesitancy to do this. And this is the ace in the hole. If you can have the person who has the relationship pick up the phone, that's an ace in the hole.
I know.
Yeah. Well, you got to make it hurt at that local level too, guys. You know, with my hygiene team, I get tasked by my hygienist saying, hey, your buddy Tom, who's no-showed twice before, is on my schedule for 2 weeks from now. Can you text him yourself? And which I'm like, hey, Tom, don't piss off.
But
you
take the monkey? Oh, no, you weren't there for that.
I'm just saying that there's such a level of care over their own schedule because the compensation formula directly related to that no-show to them, that they are, or they will not see one of my friends. And I have to tell my friend, like, hey, you got to pay up front. It gets to that level. They will throw a patient out. It's not me that's concerned about the no-show. It's them.
Okay, so next question about the no-show. I think we've all spoken. Okay, so we talked about the no-show fee, right? Mm-hmm. Slap on the wrist. The best penalty is, in my experience, when you create scarcity. And it is in opposition to your business model. But if you could say to them, hey, you missed your appointment. Next appointment we have for you is October 2024, right? And they're like, holy shit, what? And you're like, yeah, sorry. I promise, even though you have availability next week, tomorrow, and that is a hard thing for all of us to do because you're looking at potential revenue that you need, the lifeblood to come in potentially, but then you'd never train someone from their quote unquote bad behavior. Mm-hmm. Right. But remember the days when you were, if you are in a situation where you're overbooked, like the people in an overbooked practice, like my practices that are booking in rural towns are booking out 6 and 8 months. No one misses their appointment. No one.
Yeah.
Right. But the ones where you have a lot of holes, it's like, oh, it's my job to fill it. It's like, hey, Miss Jones, you missed today, but tomorrow we can see you. Oh, can't do tomorrow? How about the next day? And then she's thinking, wow, there's really no repercussion for this.
There's a lack of value.
Lack of value based on availability.
Which I might add granted it's anecdotal, but that is
shit's hard.
The turnaround when you tell people that is staggering.
Staggering.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Almost to the point of I'm mad now, right? They get mad and you're like, well, what do you want me to do?
Okay, I'll make it. I'll be
there. Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, I'll make it.
Oh, shit. That was easy.
Yeah.
I mean, we're constantly training our patients. You know, when you call a hotel and you even if it's the most marginal hotel at $100 a night, they will give you, since you're within 3 days of the cancellation policy, you know there's non-refundable. So hotels have trained us. Airlines have trained us. I mean, even some restaurants are taking deposits now. So it's like, if we say no problem, you know, they call up, no problem at all. Well, how about 3 o'clock? How about 5 o'clock? How about tomorrow at 9? It's like, okay, well, shit, these guys have tons of flexibility. No big deal. So it's not the patient's fault. We're just either training them to be good, become good patients or bad patients.
It's so true. It's so, Craig, even that restaurant we went to for that omakase when you came to Atlanta, right? Like,
that was crazy.
Freaking out, like, that we were going to miss it. I'm there 15 minutes early. Oh,
and
my gosh.
It was freaking empty.
It was empty.
Empty. You know, we can squeeze you in. You got to prepay for it. I'm like, oh my God, the Uber's late. I'm freaking out. I'm running through Atlanta airport. We get there. It is empty. No one's there.
So this is a good takeaway. And, you know, I don't know how to wrap my head around it, guys, for all of us and people listening. But, like, I think scarcity, whether or not it's real or not, is created with verbiage.
Always.
Right? And so, like,
value,
that's probably
value
not
is
something.
Created with verbiage. Value is created what, with verbiage. Value is created.
Well,
with
yes, but there's probably a big takeaway here. I just haven't been able to distill it down yet. Yeah. Other than, like, maybe it's time to maybe looking back at the verbiage and saying, "Hey, thank you for calling. Make sure you make your appointment. Because, by the way, did you know we're booking out 7 months? Like, Karen, don't miss this. You know, or something like that. I don't know.
The takeaway I think you need to distill from this, which I think we learned very much firsthand from COVID, is that scarcity is not a bad thing. And if you look at what you've been taught, book out your hygiene forever, that's bad business. You should expand. But that's not always possible. But when you start to see a little bit of manufactured scarcity, the level of compliance dramatically increases. So manufacture a little scarcity. You should do that in all
and
your.
It's so much easier in a dental office because we can't see who's in the restaurant. Like, Craig and I could see who's in the restaurant. In operatories, you can't tell.
So here's something similar, though, that I've struggled with, although it never really has raised its head, but I've thought about it. When you tell the patient, sorry, we're booked for 6 weeks, but you have online scheduling, it's, well, I'm staring at your website right now. You have a whole tomorrow. And then, then you have to throw out the, well, that's for other people, or however you're going to handle that situation.
Oh, wow.
I
didn't think about that.
It's never presented as a problem, but it's always been on the back of my mind of, it seems like it should be, though.
Interesting.
Yeah, we only have our providers that have not established a full schedule on online scheduling. And those are the ones that we tend to be more fluid with anyway. But that's just a natural tendency.
Anecdotally, Dwight, do you see more cancellations with online scheduling?
We used to, but it's less than, I mean, definitely less than 10%. I would say maybe 5% now, but it does with online scheduling, no matter what, it's a human to human phone call. There's no automation on that. We call, even if it's automated, because people who click a lot of stuff, they'll automatically confirm, but it's still a phone call. So we know which ones are online scheduled and you're calling those no matter what. Because you've got to get ahead of it. You've got to call and say, hey, by the way, did you fill out your paper? You're making sure, blah, blah, blah. And we just get ahead of it. That's the only way it's worth it. But we see that it is worth it because we're cutting back on the, you know, number of phone calls and all those other things. And it makes a big, big difference for us.
Hey, everybody. You know dentistry is a team sport. We all learn individually in silos. The doctors go to their CE. The assistants go to some other thing. The office managers go to somewhere else. And hygienists, et cetera. This is a great opportunity for everybody to learn at the same time and be on the same page so that you don't leave with a bunch of useless knowledge. You actually learn to implement the stuff you learned. So join us June 14th and 15th at the beautiful JW Marriott Camelback Resort in Scottsdale, Arizona. Go to bulletproofsummit.com and register you and your entire team. You will not be disappointed that you did so. See you soon, guys.
Random ass pivot here. I got this pinged from me from Twitter today from a pretty prolific dentist on Twitter, and he said, hey, are you outsourcing anything overseas? Are any of you guys doing that? I think I've asked this before on the pod, actually, now that I'm having deja vu. No, okay.
When
just
we
curious.
Need additional help, we will sometimes do insurance verification call center
through a support. Company though, right? Yeah. Okay.
I mean, listen, there's Upwork, you know, my EBITDA calcs are being outsourced to Pakistan. I got charts being done from data from Upwork. So if that counts, But I don't know.
I meant like insurance verification.
Oh, I've done that. I did that in the past. Yeah. Wasn't good for me at the time.
Yeah. Same. Just curious.
I have to make a quick announcement, guys. Somebody by the name of Jeff bought me a gift. This is a nice gift.
On air.
did you?
Hey,
thank you, Jeff. I like Jeff.
Who is Jeff?
I don't know. I think maybe I appreciate it. Just said, hey, appreciate all you do in the pod.
Pete has one because he just got off camera. Yeah. So there it is.
Did you get a last name on who gave you that? Did you get a last name, Pete, on who gave you that? Or it's just
no, I did not.
But it was from Jeff, right?
It was from Jeff. I didn't put a battery in it, though.
No, I didn't put. No, what do you expect to put a battery in? Like, you want me to bake you a cake and feed it to you too, Peter? Note to self. No, it's just thank you for that.
Very generous of Jeff.
Very generous, giving Jeff a shout out. Thank you, we appreciate it. I'm going to use it. I'll use that for sure. I just used it.
The next pod I want to do with you guys is talking about some AI and tech stuff again. I think it's a good time to kind of revisit some things as this field is advancing. You know, every month seems like a quantum leap.
Did you guys see Sprint Ray, by the way, with Midas? The new shout out to a non-sponsor Sprint Ray.
No, what happened?
They had a big convention. Dwight, you should know since you're most recent to the chair what happened, but they have a very cool printable resin that's like 70% ceramic, and they did a good job of inviting a lot of influencers. Maybe all four of our invites got lost in the mail, so that can happen. But it's pretty cool. It's a pretty neat launch. So there's going to be a race to the printable restoration. That's going to be
no. We've been doing that for a year. Second.
race to the printable restoration that has 5 years of studies behind it. Because one thing we all know about the dental industry, beta testing is done by us.
Here comes Craig's Targus Vector story.
Yeah. So anyway, there was a material called Targus Vector. I won't step into that one, you asshole. But no, I'm just saying, like, it is done by us. So we've all been through all the iterations. Not that
you guys probably weren't even old enough for that story, were you?
There's
you don't
other
even
ones.
Know what y'all are talking about.
Yeah.
But that's what about lava crown? Come on.
This stinks. We're getting aged out.
Nice try. Keep going. Give us some more. Give us some
no,
more.
Dwight,
no,
Dwight, you give us one. You give us one. What's an implant company or some sort of stuff that was supposed to be amazing that didn't work? You know them. The point I'm trying to make is that, listen.
That short, fat one, right?
Yeah, one? What about that one that was on everybody's Instagram page for a while? That short little fatty.
Fat.
No need for
that. I don't even know the name of it.
Nope. Got nothing for you on that one.
Yeah, it was like a crown that was 8 millimeters tall and an implant that was 3 by like, it was like a stubby little one. They should have called it the Stubbo. That would have been better.
That's 1990s dentistry.
Going back to
it was like 10 years ago.
It really was.
If you know the name of that implant, please put in the comments below.
I kind of know it, but. I feel like I'm teetering on a cease and desist across the lands right now.
You got to play it cool.
I've had to chill out. I've had a couple shots across the bow. I've had a couple shots across the bow recently, and I'm just like,
Tessera crowns. I know Tessera.
But I mean, are you really a good podcaster if you don't get cease and desist?
No,
I don't want one.
I'm just kidding. So back to the AI thing. I think there's some cool GPT things. I shared with you guys the call link, the call phone number. I want to kind of demo that live on the pod. There's just been some other things as I've kind of keep diving in to solve things. AI note takers from a SOAP notes perspective. You know, if we look at the bottlenecks, I mean, I always talk about like, you know, reducing the friction from a patient perspective of them scheduling. But if we can reduce the friction for our team and things that they struggle or take a lot of time with every day, what would you think? What would you estimate that notes, I'm not saying it's going to be fully automated, but what would you guesstimate like someone who's doing proper notes is spending a day? Yes, there's templates, I know, but what would you guess? Trey. What would you guess? Craig, what would you guess?
Oh, and I'd say an hour a day.
I would say an hour plus.
Yeah, an hour. I would agree, right? So this is something to solve because, look, some of the, I don't know, have you guys ever used some AI summaries in your, like, for instance, Zoom calls or things like that? No? Okay.
Loom does that for me, which I think is wonderful. Like I'll do they're a Loom beautiful. Video. I'll do a 40-minute Loom video. And it's like, Craig's talking about blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and it's your target bullet spectrus. Points, right? It's your takeaway.
Outline. Yeah, I've used that.
I would argue, here's why I'm excited about this. A, I think it reduces some of the time for your team that you're paying for and they're getting worn out by, right? And B, I think that those things are typically saved toward the end of the day or the next day or that night. And guess how much contextual information you forget? A lot. Yeah. So I would argue that as someone's going to say, oh, AI is not going to be able to do that. I would argue that it's going to do it better and more comprehensively.
For sure.
And not going to forget the SOAP format, right? And the if it didn't happen kind of thing. If you didn't document it, didn't happen. It's going to cover our ass a little bit better. As we've all seen, our dentist colleagues have gotten their ass handed to them because of truncated, highly, highly truncated notes.
Yeah, right? Stock note that goes through so much bullshit.
Template,
so,
right? And then they find that template.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Template note. Yeah.
So that's something I'm excited that I've got something to report on. Like I said, the call center, just using ChatGPT as GPT-5 is about to come out. There's some cool things, some agents that are happening. And maybe this isn't applicable to dentists just yet, but I think it is. Like as I showed our mastermind, like how to use it to be your own CFO if you upload some of your documents from your P&L. And your trend over time, you can identify things. So it's just helping. It's crazy. It's crazy. I hope my wife is not listening, that I was so overwhelmed by a text fight that I created an agent called Relationship GPT. And I kept copying and pasting her text and being like, how should I respond to this? And then I'd copy and paste. And then it would...
Honey, I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
Well, it was no. And I was like, be a little bit meaner. That was too nice. Be a little meaner. That's not me. Right. Like overwhelmed.
We spent the end of last podcast telling Pete he should spend more quality time with his family.
He does. Only, he just I has. Hope. He
no,
bought
just
dad,
not on vacation.
He bought dad GPT. Dad GPT.
Yeah, not on vacation.
Son,
not on
I'm
whatever,
proud of you.
Just
like... No, no. Use, I would never use it for that.
Can you use moderator GPT for us so you don't have to call us numbnuts when we're trying to get on the podcast this afternoon?
No, that would suck the joy from my life.
Can AI send us the right link so we don't have to wait on you?
Yes.
Probably. All right, guys. Enjoyed it. Any updates on your end? We got a summit
coming
up.
Guys.
If you haven't booked your freaking room, do it. Like that. I know I keep saying hounding on that, but it's going to be cool. Ophir, speaking of technology and AI, Ophir is coming to speak.
From Pearl AI, yeah.
From Pearl AI, which is awesome.
He's badass.
We did a pod with him at the CareStack conference, and his insight onto where the puck is going in dentistry is really neat.
Hey, Dwight or Trey, are you guys using AI for your x-rays yet?
Yeah. We've been doing it for years, bro.
And Trey, how long have you been doing it for?
Probably about a year and a half.
Cool. Yeah. Did you guys see an uptick in case acceptance and all that good stuff?
Trey, I've actually had half my practices do great and the other half not use it at all. Mm-hmm. So we have to go in and be a lot more diligent about how you use and how to retrain.
Yeah. Just toggle on, toggle off.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. We actually just did a YouTube short video on that where one of my partners, Dr. Drew King, was kind of talking and showing how, practices probably should be using some AI components as well as a highly trained dentist, and and he's like, basically at the end was like, I couldn't imagine practicing this way without it now. Right. Which I thought
it's interesting. Pretty incredible when you think about what you have at your fingertips now, just as a diagnostician.
Agreed.
It really is. Going back to, remember you guys, where you guys fell asleep and Dwight and I had the conversation about what is the breakdown. So this is something to always remember. What is the breakdown?
Takes us back to Cabo. I was
what's
Cabo
the breakdown?
Over the weekend.
I was just tired.
How much
guys.
Of it is diagnostician? You were very tired. You were sleeping.
Craig fell asleep.
Trey,
I just told you
slept
were wrong.
For 2 days.
You just tuned out.
And then I. Oh yeah, no.
Remember, you fell asleep for 2 days.
That's exactly right.
You literally didn't come.
I was away from my kids and my wife. More so,
yeah. You had
a
new baby at that point. You were just conked out. Good for you.
I was just in Cabo this last weekend, and I talked to everybody who is with me about La Marina del Sol and how Craig reacted to the whole thing. I was literally acting out how he was throwing beer on people and like.
I didn't throw a beer. I slammed my beer down and it went on a poor waiter's face. There's a big difference.
You had a 6'6" tantrum.
Yeah. So why were you in Cabo, by the way? Not six.
I was down there for a birthday party for a friend of ours.
Yeah. That's awesome.
All right, everyone. That's a wrap. I feel like sometimes I forget we're still recording, but love you guys.
That happens.
Over. It's right. That's right.
Hey, you know, guys, did you catch that? Peter had a rare moment of emotional vulnerability. When was the last one? 2014,
wait. I have the last one written down somewhere here. Hold on.
Yeah. He just said, love you guys. We love you too, Peter. Got to go, guys. Thanks, everybody.
See you guys.
See ya.